The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 479. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Majoma.
What's up, what's up?
All right, guys, you already know, back with another one. Chris said he's like can't be on the show because of some eclipse.
Friends are going to be in town for the eclipse, so that's pretty much it. So
that's pretty cool, and then
so he's going to be hosting guests.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. There's some people in my office that are going to Texas for this fucking thing. You know, like more power to
on the East Coast. We're actually going to get a
upstate.
Good,
yeah, you can see. Better.
I mean, even around here, like we're going to get a pretty decent amount of. We're just going to get a little sliver of light. A little bit.
You know,
but they're getting a full eclipse down there in Texas.
Yeah. And no Brett because he's at a tattoo convention that he was talking about before. I wish I had the name of it now. But, you know, if you're in Kansas, hit him up, you know, be good. I don't know if they're getting eclipse over there, though, because it's going a specific way across the, North America. My aunt was asking me because she lives in Florida. She's like, am I going to see it? Like, no, you won't. It's not even crossing by there.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like really crossing, like, you know, from Texas up through the middle of the country, kind of up here.
So we're in like me, I'm a little toward the middle of the country, like, you know, the middle of the country, but on the East Coast. So we're getting a pretty good one. We got our little glasses that are not bootlegs.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, you could burn your fucking retinas.
Chris is pretty much at the epicenter of that eclipse, in the exact path where it's going through. Mm-hmm. So he's getting a perfect view of this.
Yeah. Cool stuff, man. All right, let's get into it, man. Drama in the industry, as always.
But when is there not the drama?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when games release.
Yeah, that's true.
That can be some drama.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even before games release, there's drama. All right, so let's get into it, man. So it's been announced that Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga, a game that's running on Unreal 5, by the way, will only run at 30 frames per second on Xbox Series X.
Hmm. Who said this?
Who
predicted this?
All right. I gotta put on my Miss Cleo hat or turban or whatever the fuck she wore. I said this shit on Throwdown and on Twitter. As a matter of fact, people got mad at me when I said that. My whole thing was, I said, the reason we're getting so many games that are 60 FPS is not because of the console's, you know, power. It is because these games are last-gen games, right? I said, when we start getting games specifically made for the current systems, you're going to start seeing more 30 FPS games. Slowly but surely, we've started to see it happen. One of the first major games that was like, there was Gotham Knights. And then we saw a trickle. But at the time, people got mad at me. What the fuck you talking about? What about Insomniac? What about Insomniac? You know? It's like, you morons, you realize that one exception doesn't defeat the rule. It doesn't work like that. You know? And I was ranting about this to Manny before the show. That's one of my pet peeves. Right? You know, like, I go out there and I'll give, like, hey, generally speaking, people don't listen to the generally part. Oh, what about this? What about that? You're fucking stupid because this happened to my cousin on the 5th day of September. You're wrong. I'm like, yeah, because your subjective opinion negates the experience of other people, like vastly more people, and you are just numbers and shit, you know? But that's a tactic people love doing. Oh, no, what about this? What about that? How about I slap you? How about that? You know? Fucking dumbasses. Yeah. It gets under my skin hearing that shit, you know. You're wrong because of Mr. P, you know. Anyway, now I'm heated, but let me calm down my talking about this shit.
Enhancer comp.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically, the game's going to run at 30 FPS. Get ready. I told you this was going to happen. But obviously, you know, if you've seen Twitter today, that's when the news dropped. You know, like the usual happened, right? The ponies making fun of the game. Oh, your fucking Xbox can't even run games properly. And then the Xbox is going, it's fine. It's fine. 30 FPS is fine. You know what? I'll even accept 24 frames. It's a huge. Obviously, you know, if it was the other way around, it'd be the same arguments just from the other side. You know,
so wasn't the original Samuel was
I believe. Don't quote me on that.
30?
Don't quote me on that. Yeah. But I believe it was. I could be wrong about that. It's been a while. You know. Anyway, Carlos, what's up, man?
Yeah, it's one of those things that we've been talking about for years. It's the whole thing with new generations. We got the cross-gen stuff, the cross-gen games, PS4, PS5, and we knew that those games were meant to run on PS4. So what does that mean? It means that now it's running on way better hardware than it was programmed for. So of course you're getting 60 FPS for these games. And now when you get, you know, these new games that are higher fidelity, do more physics stuff that have ray tracing and all this. Well, of course, it's not gonna do 60 frames per second because it's a new paradigm that you're programming for. And, yeah. You know, it's just the cycle keeps continuing. It's the same thing that's happening every time.
Yeah. You know what? Let me read this. Oh, hold on. I got to give a shout out real quick. So I'm reading this from IGN, which we will talk about later. But this is the good part of IGN. Taylor Lyles, our friend Taylor, who has been on Throwdown before, who I had a really good conversation with before the show about how Starfield fucked up. You know, it's a bad example of open world games. She went off on a rant, you know, and then we both agreed on that. And then we both agreed that Red Dead Redemption 2 has one of the most amazing open world games. Anyway, so she wrote this article, so I'm reading her words. So shout out to Taylor. We have a month and a half until Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 is released. And if you are curious to know more about the technical side of things, it has been revealed today that Ninja Theory's highly anticipated action game is locked at 30 frames per second if you're playing on the Xbox Series X or S version. Speaking of GamePro, I didn't know GamePro was still around.
Yes, they are.
Cool. Remember GamePro magazine back in the day, Manny?
Do they still review with little crazy people? Like,
I don't know. Speaking of GamePro, Mark Slater Tunstall, the VFX director for Hellblade 2, confirmed the console versions are locked to run at 30 FPS with dynamic resolution, with no additional graphic options, such as performance mode, available on consoles. However, the PC version is not locked to this feature, and increased FPS can only be achieved on that specific platform. Told you, motherfuckers, man. Slater Tunstall explained. It's one of those fucking Slater hyphen Tunstall. Like, did you get married, bro? Like, how do you get a name like that? How's a dude get him? Anyway, let me go on. He explained that locking the console versions of Hellblade 2 to 30 FPS made the experience feel more quote unquote cinematic. However, he did not specify if it was due to anything else, to just technical limitations of the Xbox Series S. I think it's technical limitations of both of them, you know? By the way, real quick aside, some motherfuckers, oh, if it was on PS5, that should be running at 60 frames. Probably wouldn't.
Nope.
Probably wouldn't. Let's just be real here.
The PS5 is actually not as powerful as the Xbox.
Yeah. Faster, but not as powerful. Yeah. So yeah, wouldn't be running at no yet. No. Nevertheless, Hellblade 2's lock at 30 FPS is an interesting choice, and one that most recently, Xbox first-party studio Arkane Austin received controversy for when it was confirmed its multiplayer shooter Redfall was capped at 30 FPS at release before eventually getting a 60 FPS version months later after its less than stellar launch. this is the most recent controversy for Hellblade 2, as earlier this year, Microsoft and Ninja Theory revealed that when it releases on May 21st, Hellblade 2 will be a digital-only game for $50. Obviously, remember we covered the whole Redfall situation as well, 30 FPS.
Just to jump in really quickly, the original one on PS4 and, you know, obviously the older console, the other ones did run at 30 frames per second, but with the pro consoles, it ran at 60.
See, that's where I was confused. I only played it on the pro, so I was like, I don't know, may have looked better.
I mean, it's an interesting thing because they're like, it feels more cinematic. All right. Why was it not cinematic on the Pro?
And it's not cinematic on PC. They're also saying, right?
Yeah.
Right? But Philly Fred, what's going on, brother? Shout out to Philly Fred. I'm going to finish reading this. There's only a couple more paragraphs. Aside from running on Unreal Engine 5, Hellblade 2 is using Epic Games' MetaHuman Animator technology to push the, quote, boundaries of real-time facial animation. That's pretty good stuff. We've seen videos of that. Shout out to Taylor. I like reading articles that are well-written because sometimes you read some of this shit like, yo, did anybody edit this shit? You know? But so, yeah, 30 frames a second. Controversy. Obviously, and it's like, we told you. I'm sorry, we told you, you know? I told you, motherfuckers, as Brett would say, you know? I wonder what Brett would say if he was here, because, you know, he's the Xbox defender nowadays, even to his surprise, you know? You know my answer, play it on PC. That's all I'm going to say about that.
to me, it doesn't play. We've already learned this. The previous generation wasn't capable of 60 at the higher resolution. This generation will not be able to achieve that either.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all it is. Everything is going to be run unless the company really optimizes what they're doing. For the most part, all these things are just going to run in the 30 FPS range. And then, you know, whatever voodoo the company can do to try to get it to 60 if they want to.
Yeah,
I'm going to say this, like the previous one, it really didn't need to run at 60, that game.
Yeah.
Like the it didn't make it control any better. She still controls about as heavy as she did, you know, with 60 as she did with 30. So I'd say Kami Jets, the game's going to look pretty. It's going to look pretty. And that's what it's mainly going to look, what its main goal is. It's just to look as pretty as possible. And come on, $50 game.
Yeah.
Felt pretty good.
By the way, they have a poll here on the article. Are you playing Hellblade 2 on Xbox despite its frame rate capped at 30 FPS? I'm going to read you the results. I selected the third one. You'll see what it is. Yes, 39%. Basically 40%. Okay, so most people, you know, they don't care. 31.5% are like, nope, fuck that. And then 28.9%, I am playing on PC. That's what I selected. You know, because as I said before, I don't plan to buy an Xbox. There's no point. But Rich, man, what's your thoughts on this latest 30 FPS gate? Because we seem to get these every few months now because motherfuckers forget.
Well, first and foremost, let me start off by saying, you know, Xbox, Microsoft, they're very slick because I believe it was this exact same week, if not today, they released previews of this game. So you have this the articles going up of previews covering the game, and then this news comes out about the 30 frames per second. Now, Microsoft is the one that said from the very beginning when they were launching this console, oh, yes, we're going to try to target 60 frames per second on all our games.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, they have fallen short of that promise. And like you mentioned in Taylor's article, this all started with Redfall. When they announced that was 30 frames per second. And then we had Starfield, 30 frames per second. And now this, 30 frames per second. Now, I will say this. I personally am concerned about whether or not the game is good. It is important that it does perform well, but we already know if you want the best performance, you should play it on PC. But Microsoft needs to be very transparent about this stuff. And, you know, I don't know what's going on with this constant. Like you guys already said, we know that because they're making it on Xbox Series X and S and they're catering to that console, it's obviously not as powerful as PC because with PC, you can max out a lot of different things. So they got to know that's going to be a continual issue regardless of whatever they announce. If they announce Gear 6, which, you know, We'll talk about that later, but I'm expecting all this stuff to be 30 frames per second. But the one thing I will say, it's not just the 30 frames per second that's aggravating. There is no performance mode.
Yeah.
There wasn't a performance mode on Redfall until they did the patch. There's no performance mode on Starfield, and there's no performance mode on this. But yet, for the Sony games, a majority of those games do have a performance mode option. So I kind of feel like because you're giving the player another option, this is why people will say, well, they don't mind if a game doesn't run 30 frames per second on PlayStation 5, because at least they have some options that they can edit. With these Microsoft first party games, there is no option. You're just playing it at 30 frames per second with no performance tweaks at all, unless you play on PC, I guess.
Yeah. And so, you know, and to the last point you made, maybe that's why a lot of these like ponies are saying it would run better on PlayStation, because I didn't think about it. Yep. You're right. It's like, at least more PlayStation games offer performance mode, you know. Mm-hmm. What's up with Xbox? Very interesting indeed, man. Brian, get in here. What are your thoughts, man? And also, why the hell do these companies keep promising 60 FPS when they know they can't deliver? I'm waiting for Mr. Manjo. There he is.
That's a good question, Tony. I have no idea. To me, I'm just getting flashbacks of when the Order came out on PS4. It sounded like the exact same argument that I'm hearing, and same defenses. It's like, I don't know, I'm just tired of the whole discussion, because it seems to me that it's, again, we're at that point of the cycle where it's the consoles just aren't powerful enough, hence get PC, or maybe, again, maybe this is why the enhanced consoles that are rumored to come out this year, next year, whatever, are existing for, so that we can get games at 60 frames per second on consoles. So it's just seemed like a massive shit show. Again, I am with Rich. It does seem a bit weird that there's no choice, that you can go higher. So that's a bit odd to me, but hey, again, as Tony said, if you really want, or if you really care that much, then just get on PC, and that's what I'm doing. And I had no issues, you know. I played Redfall at 60 frames per second. I played Starfall at 60 frames per second. So I'll play Hellblade at 60 frames per second. So again, literally does not affect me.
It was a fail blade?
We don't know yet. We don't know yet. Yeah.
We don't know yet.
Fail blade.
We don't know yet. There's still time.
Oh, man. Yeah. We'll see. When is this shit dropping again, Rich? You said it's like, that's the other thing I want to talk about. Because apparently this game's coming out soon, and there's like been no previews. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, you that's a good question. It's May 21st. That's okay. Next month. But I will say it's rather hilarious that the first Microsoft first party game of this year, and we got to wait damn near till half of the year to actually get our hands on it. So they need to work on that.
Yeah, that's wild, man. I don't know. It's just seems like another L for Xbox, which is a shame. You know, because this is like I've been consistent about this one Xbox game I've been looking forward to. I don't. It's not going to affect my enjoyment, because again, I'm going to play it on PC. But it's another instance of like, damn, Xbox can't get a win. What's up, Rich?
Well, you guys, everybody here on the panel knows, and the audience knows what Microsoft's response is going to be, right?
What's it going to be?
It's going to be wait until our Xbox conference in June.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's what they always do. Stay tuned. Man, it's like being an Xbox fan, it's like you're just always waiting for things to get better. It's like, it's like being a Mets fan, you know? It's like, stop having hope, you know? All right, man. Moving on, but still sticking kind of to the story. This is very interesting to me. Ninja Theory co-founder Tamin Antionades has left the studio. This dude, he's been there for the beginning. Very interesting that he's leaving right before this game drops. I don't know, man.
Maybe he's regretting the decision to sell over to Microsoft.
Maybe. The Hellblade writer-director is no longer with the Xbox developer, which that's what Ninja Theory is now. So, yeah, it could be that. Let me read this. This is from VGC. On a recent video to the Cambridge, UK-based studio for Hellblade 2 preview. Okay, so there is a preview happening. Okay, Rich, so we've got to be on the lookout for that, you know? Polygon noted that there was no sign or mention of the director who was formerly the company's chief creative director. A spokesperson for Xbox, which owns the studio, later confirmed it to the site that he was no longer with the developer. VGC has contacted Microsoft for further details about his departure. While he worked on numerous games at Ninja Theory, he notably served as writer-director on Heavenly Sword, Enslaved Odyssey to the West, DMC Devil May Cry, and Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. By the way,
man, he's been their story guy.
What's the name of their multiplayer game, Carlos?
Bleeding Edge.
That was the only bomb from them. Listen to these names. This is why I've said for years, I'm like, yo, the studio can't do no wrong until, you know, excuse me, they were forced to make that game. But bangers, you know. According to Polygon, he was involved in the early stages of Hellblade 2, but the game is now being led by three creative leads: environmental art director Dan Atwell, visual effects director Mark Slater, the dude we talked about before, and audio director David Garcia. Microsoft and Ninja Theory. I don't know. Should we consider that a red flag that the guy who's founded the fucking studio, co-founder, is leaving a month before their big, their biggest game in years, literally? I don't know, man. Kind of suspect, I mean, to me, you know?
It happened similarly to Halo Infinite when, before that game came out. Yeah, it's all about losing talent. We talk about these studios 10 years after the fact that they released their best games, and 10, 20 years, and we talked about Rockstar, we talked about all these studios, and most of them don't have the same talent they used to.
They don't. So they don't have
the people that originated those titles.
Yeah, they have the name of the studio, but that's it. But Rich, what's up?
Oh, I was just going to add, yes, this is a bad sign, and I was going to say we saw this recently with Carlos's favorite game of the year, Suicide Squad.
Oh no! Oh.
Yes, the founders of Rocksteady Games.
Yeah,
yeah, that's not a good sign, people. Not a good sign.
It's definitely a sign that they probably shouldn't have made that deal.
Shit. But,
to just be the Batman studio, and now what's going to happen? You know, because this game, Suicide Squad, just literally crashed and burned.
Well, I was thinking about this morning. I think it's possible that Rocksteady may go the way of Volition, if you know what I mean. Mm. And there was another game that a certain consultancy agency was involved with that also doesn't exist anymore. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss of death right there. But anyway, back to Ninja Theory. Yeah, I think that's a red flag. Hopefully it's not indicative of something related to the game. Maybe he just didn't want to work there anymore. But yeah, maybe you're right, Manny. Maybe it was a Faustian deal he made, and it was like, oh shit. I wouldn't be surprised if he does what some of these other cats are doing, forming their own studios.
I'm gonna say this. Like, Microsoft in general seems like death to studios.
Shit.
Like you look at the state of all their franchises, Gears of War included. They're all just some pale comparisons to what their former glory was.
Yeah,
and it was a steady drop out for after, you know, obviously the guys at Bungie, you know, originally made the Halo games, after they stepped away, you know, like, it just steadily just kept going down. Same thing with the Gears of War games. I mean, obviously people still like them, but like, what is left out of those that franchise? Really, not like. Like, can you tell me the direction where it goes? Is there anything intriguing other than the gameplay? I don't think so. I think, you know, I don't have a lot of faith for that next Gears of War game. I feel like they're just diminishing returns for every single title that they release. And I feel like maybe they just don't have it. Maybe they just don't have the way to sort of look over these, you know, oversee these studios to essentially continue to put out the things that they are going to put out. But again, I'm making this as an assumption, not an assumption, but like, you just, you know, shit on the wall. You know, for all we know, Hellblade 2 could be amazing, but it just seems a little bit suspect when you have like the main guy who was like the chief of keeping all those, you know, putting out these titles, just saying, I'm out.
Yeah.
After making that deal to sell over to them.
Yeah. A quick aside here, Manny, I'll let you explain this. Kishak wants to know why your sound isn't as good as it normally is.
I'm not on my normal computer. I'm actually on my work computer because I'm still working.
Yeah.
Sorry if I sound a little bit muffled or anything like that.
Yeah. There you go. Just be understanding. Also, shout out to Kiss Shack, by the way. Jay Shep asked, where's Brett and Brian? Brian's been here the whole show, bro.
I'm here.
Yeah, he's been right there the whole time. And as I said at the top of the show, no Brett. You know, because he's at a tattoo convention. Actually, Manny, for you, Brian is under you for people watching.
Okay.
So point with the other hand would be better. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, so there you go. All right, so I don't know. I think that's a red flag to me, you know.
I actually don't think it's a red flag. I think it may have just been his time to go, because if you guys have said that he's been there for, like, since the start,
yeah,
like Heavenly Sword, like back in the PS3 days, so how long does that go? Yeah. You know, it's like 10, 15 years ago? 2007? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, 2007, yeah.
Yeah, it's like almost 15 years ago. So, again, maybe it's a case of he just had his time and said, you know what, I feel a change going on. That's also another option. Again, I honestly have no idea. It could be. It can easily go either way. I guess we just need to wait and see if Hellblade's actually good or not.
Yeah.
And then we'll see.
Yeah, like I said, to me, I'm not saying it's a red flag for the game. I think it's more of a red flag for, like, his relationship with Microsoft. But I could be wrong. That's just what my instincts are telling me. By the way, Carlos, add, Heavenly Sword to the list of 2007 games. That year, that year, man, was special.
I mean, it was hip hop's favorite game for a while.
Yeah, it was. I remember Torrance talking about it too. Now here he goes. Oh man,
those were the days, man. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with Ninja Theory. I mean, we don't know what exactly of an impact it'll have. He was chief creative director, was his title.
Yeah.
We'll see how creative he was actually part of it. So, it sucks because, you know, we want Ninja Theory to stay intact and do things how they always done it. But if this doesn't affect their quality, if Hellblade 2 comes out good, then it might have not have been such a red flag, but we'll see.
Yeah. Kishak goes, is the Series S costing a 30 FPS lock issues? I don't think so necessarily. I think it's the consoles just can't hang. You know, at the top of the show, Kishak, I know you weren't here. I went off on a rant about this, how literally 2.5 years ago on Throwdown and on Twitter, I said, get ready for 30 FPS games once we start getting games only made for these systems, because the only reason we're getting 60 FPS games is because it were cross-gen games. But as we also pointed out, it is interesting how Sony generally offers performance mode for its first-party games, whereas Microsoft doesn't. Very interesting. I think HB2 will be a good game, but not a Game of the Year contender, says Jay Shep. Yeah, I think it'll be on the level of the first Hellblade. Like, oh, that's a really good game, but it's not going to be like contender. The first one wasn't a contender either, you know?
Yeah,
it was just a really good game. That's it.
I think that in general for Hellblade, it's just like, at least what the original.
I don't think we should put those expectations on this game. Also, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no. I think in general for Hellblade, it was always the proof that they could make a AAA game for a middle A budget.
Yep.
You know?
Pretty much. But the thing is, since Microsoft has, or Xbox has so few, you know, first party games, every game is like scrutinize more. People want it to be the next thing.
Yeah,
a lot of these games just aren't up to snuff.
Exactly. Like, I'll be the first to tell you with Hi-Fi Rush, it's an unfortunate thing. It dropped. It was cool that it had a shadow drop, but at the same time, the spotlight was only on that game. And that game was, I can tell you right away that game wouldn't be a game that would be a system seller or a thing to get people onto their service.
Yeah. Jay Shep goes, remember we, you know, him and I had that discussion earlier. So far, every first-party PS5 game has had 60 FPS option. Yeah, they do. Interesting, isn't it? Xbox doesn't offer that. You know, very interesting.
I mean, maybe it's something to quell parity.
It could be, yeah. I said it would just be temporary. I did say that. And I did also say Insomniac's going to be one of those studios that's always going to keep offering that, you know. But you know, so far you've been right, sir. So I'll give you that. You know, I'm not one of these fucking assholes. I was going to try to find some way of saying I was right. Like, no, so far you have been right about that. You know, mm-hmm. And I also remember saying that back then that I hope I was wrong. I'm glad I'm wrong, you know. And, you know, PS5 Pro might alleviate that. But it goes to show you a difference between PS5 and Xbox Series X, man. Very interesting. And yes, obviously, PS5 also doesn't have an anchor on its fucking heel like Xbox does, the Series S. You know, so that could also be a factor too, as Kishak mm-hmm. asked. You know, whether you get the digital version or the regular version of PS5, it's the same system. You know, Brian, what are your thoughts, bro?
I already gave my thoughts.
Okay, no, because I saw you unmute yourself. I'm like, oh, Brian wants to speak.
No.
Yeah, cool. Now someone said that's because they have been Unreal 4 too. That's stupid. It's like if you could program for Unreal 4, you could program for Unreal 5. You know,
I mean, it's a little bit, it's a little bit different. But I mean, the thing is that the thing to understand is that yes, you can program for Unreal 4. There's a lot
or learn it at least. It's not like learning something.
There's a lot of similarities between them, but that doesn't mean that you're gonna the resources that Unreal 5 uses are way beyond what 4 needs.
Yeah,
you know.
Kishak,
and I think that's you know, you'll have like, you know, have Nanite. If you decide to run Nanite, you decide to run all these different graphical features. You just got to realize that every single one of those things takes a little bit of chunk out of what you know, out of your performance.
Yeah,
there are Unreal 5 games that run that can run at 60 at 60 frames per second at 4K. But the thing about
Fortnite.
Yeah, exactly. Fortnite. Well, what is Fortnite running? It's not running really anything. It's not running what is it? It's using the rate. It's like using a bounce like ray tracing and stuff like that. But it's not using anything that's too heavy.
Yeah. You know?
And that's why it's able to run.
Kishak goes, I would say that PlayStation Studios are more technically talented than Xbox Studios. I mean, the proof is kind of in the pudding, isn't it? We've always said not all developers are created equal. Some are better than others. Look at Insomniac, for example. You know, they make magic happen. Just because you throw money at shit doesn't mean you're going to suddenly get a better product. Microsoft has a lot of money, obviously, and I don't want to talk shit about the developers, but proof is there, man. The proof is there, you know? Like Microsoft Xbox wouldn't be in this predicament if they had better games. That's the thing we've been complaining about for over a decade with this fucking company. Were the games that, yes, they release games, but they're not like games that, I'm sorry, man, people generally give a fuck about, you know?
Yeah.
Well, what about this, Tony? What about that? You know, Manny, the thing I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Yes, there's been some exceptions, but even those exceptions haven't broken new ground. Let's just be real.
Again, the smart way to do to have this, or the ideal way to have this, is to have you have your cornerstone, and then you have your fillers. And a lot of these games are fillers. I know Senua's Sacrifice, a lot of people are fans of it. I'm a big fan of it. But at the same time, I can tell you right off the bat, that game is not a system seller.
No, it's not
the thing to get you to jump on Xbox's service. It's multiple examples of these things, and they have proven that they are not able to consistently do the things that they fill in the spaces.
Yeah. No, you're right. Kishak goes, is anybody still excited about the Gears of War franchise? We're going to talk about Gears of War in a bit. This is something I've said many times. The franchises that Xbox used to be able to bank on, people no longer care about as much. Hey, remember when Halo was dominant? Remember, we made our Halo killer. Nobody talks about that anymore, you know? Gears, after 5, you know, actually after 4, it started slipping, you know? And Forza, you know, it's there.
Forza exists, but I mean, again, it's like...
It's there, but it's a fucking car game.
It's a car game. So, like, it's something you released in there to sort of fill those spaces, but it's never anything that's like... Something that's just that instant system seller. Is anybody like saying to himself, oh man, I need to buy this Xbox for this Forza game?
Yeah,
no, like, hey, they have a card game too. That's what that game is.
Yeah. You know, and again, this goes back to something we talk about because, you know, one of the conversations that you see constantly, you have like podcasts that last for hours trying to answer this one question. What can Xbox do to turn things around? And on Throwdown, we've been consistently saying the same thing. What can Xbox do to turn things around? Put out good games. It's that simple. You put out games that people want to play, you're good, but they can't seem to do that. And yes, and because I understand that because of their inconsistency for over 10 years, even when a really good game does come out, people are going to be skeptical. And I think that's justified. You should be skeptical of them, you know, but if you release a slew of good games, that'll fix things. People like good games, but whatever reason, you know, they you know, yeah.
Obviously, good game is a very subjective sort of term.
Yeah, Forza is a tentpole franchise, and nobody cares anymore. You know, anyway, go on, Manny.
So is Gran Turismo. What's your point?
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that Gran Turismo is not selling consoles.
It isn't, know? Yeah. It used to, it's but great not that anymore.
It's there. Yeah. It used to, but it's not the thing.
Yeah.
So I think it would, again, with like Xboxes, is like they have had the misfortune of essentially having all of these releases, but they're never so close to each other where they, in other words, they're able to fill in their own gaps. Every single one, every single release is an island.
Yeah.
You know, and that sits on their own as opposed to like continuing to shoot. You're like, if you're like, you don't just shoot one, you got to like shoot, you got to make sure you keep consistently doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't even think that they have things in the process that are ready yet. I'm probably too far off the bat, right? What are all these guys working on?
Who knows, man? Yeah, they bought like all these studios. Like, I understand it takes a long time to make games nowadays. I understand that. But come on. Hold on. 43 minutes in. Gotta have something, you know? Yeah.
Obviously, Microsoft looked at all of these companies' games that they have in development. And they felt, okay, we need to catch these guys or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Double Fine is not a system seller. You know, obviously, Bethesda has system selling some of their games, but they're not, the ones that they had released are really not those ones. You know, you have your big superstar, you have, you know, Starfield, but even Starfield didn't do exactly what they expected it to do.
Yeah, Starfield. Starfield.
Which goes against kind of a little bit like what we were saying, too. Because we thought, okay, Starfield would be the one to get everybody along for the ride, but nobody budged. Right?
Yeah. No.
The people that played Starfield on Game Pass or whatever, and then just went about their way, right? And realized, it was not as good as the dog was better.
Yeah, despite what some people said. Didn't move that needle. All right, man. Since we keep talking about it, let's just get to it. Gear 6 could be shown this year, people. I'm just gonna bring it up. So if you guys were on Twitter, you guys saw that Tom Henderson from Insider Gaming got into a little back and forth with our boy Paris Lilly about leaks and stuff. It is very ironic that I'm now reading the story from Insider Gaming. If you were mad about Paris talking about this, why are you posting about it? He didn't write this, but it is his website. Had to throw that out there, you know? In the most recent episode of the Kinda Funny Xbox podcast, the topic of Gear 6 came up with the host Paris Lilly and leading guest Jeff Grubb making their predictions. They both claimed that something related to Gear 6 will happen this summer, prompting many to believe that a reveal will occur during the Xbox Summer Showcase. The Verge's Tom Warren corroborated these claims, adding more credence to the rumors that are swirling. It was claimed that the Coalition, not to be confused with the Coalition that Richard runs, has been working on Coalition with a C, people, has been working on the next Gears of War game, widely assumed to be Gear 6. Ooh, yeah, that's a big assumption there. The last one was 5. Maybe this one will be 6, you know, for at least a year. So there's likely a good amount of meat on the bone to reveal something during the Xbox Summer Showcase. That should be the case. Pretty interesting. I can believe this, you know. I know, Carlos has rightfully dubbed Jeff Grubb Jeff throw shit at a wall Grubb, because kind of does that. I can see that, like, a big reveal. It doesn't mean that the game's going to be dropped this year or could drop this year, I could see it being revealed, you know.
Well, it's not only that. He said, there's plans to show more about Gear 6.
Hold up. In the chat right now, man. Bubba Bass Anglers, a.k.a. Mr. Torrance Davis.
Oh God, Tons! Did you put the industry like I did?
So sorry to cut you off. Like I see Torrance, excuse me. You know, really? Torrance, what up, man? We gotta have you. Actually, we will have Torrance back on our episode on the show soon for episode 500 happening in September. You know.
Uh oh.
Yeah. So pay respect to the God, Sham God, people. Anyway, Carlos, continue, sir.
Yeah. So you know, Jeff Grubb said that they're gonna showcase. They might showcase this game, Gear 6, during the summer. And it's like, and he's like, oh, well, or maybe not. You know, you guys are still going to come at me. So he's already hedging his bets. It's either report shit or don't. So, you know, he's one of those people that throws a whole bunch of things. And sometimes he's right. And a lot of times he's wrong. So he has, you know, it can be anybody saying these kinds of things. But he's taken more seriously because he's a gaming journalist. So take it how you will. Take it with a grain of salt. Gear 6, I mean, obviously Gear 6 is overdue. We've been waiting for Gear 6 for a while now. Adam's been texting me every day. He's like, I don't know when the Gears is going to come out. I've been waiting for this my whole life.
My tattoo's itching.
my tattoo's been burning up, and I, you know, it's that time. Got to do the roadie run.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I want to read some comments real quick from Mr. Tons. Here's the elephant in the room. There's nothing on Xbox or PlayStation that I really want to play. Nothing either system has is something I would buy the systems for. The industry is suffering right now. I played Horizon Zero Dawn and then Ghost of Tsushima, and they've both felt the same. I don't even know what Xbox has anymore. Developers have lost their touch. Hellblade 2 is gorgeous, probably one of the best looking games ever on console, which I can bet is why it's running at 30 FPS. Yeah, I mean, the graphic fidelity is going to be crazy, you know?
Yeah. You just mentioned two old games,
though. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Torrance, it takes them a while to get to games, you know? I think you still play Mass Effect 2, you know?
Those are like PlayStation 4 games, man.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rich.
I do have a comment for Torrance. Obviously, this is not an exclusive, but listen, I hope that you know about Sifu, right? That game was the shit. So we got to at least acknowledge that game as being a great game.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah,
I believe is available on the PS Plus or PlayStation Plus game of the month, I think. So yeah. If you haven't copped it.
Yeah. What was that other game, like a recent game that the developer came out with, or am I bugging?
The Seafood developer?
Yeah, I thought they like released a game recently that people liked. Or maybe I'm wrong about that. Because we were like, oh,
I think that is the game.
I think that is the game. Yeah, I think maybe it's because of the Absolver connection, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. Going back to Gear 6. Kishak, I know if Adam was here, it'd be a little bit more lit, you know? After I played Gears 4. I'm like, I think I'm good now, you know, because Gears 1 through 3, well, 1, 2, and 3 were fucking amazing games, man. Those were awesome. And remember, I'm saying this as someone, I didn't play these games until like 10 years after they came out, you know. I played out Gears 1, man. I played that shit like 10 times in a row. It was so good. Oh, like they don't make games like that anymore, man. And Gears 2 and 3 were really good too, but I really like that first one, man. Like that one is a special game. You know, Little Nightmares 3 is what I'm waiting for. Philly Fred trolling, you know.
them Little Nightmares games are pretty, pretty fun, but
I don't know. They made three of them. It's like, fuck.
They made two, and then the company sold the franchise off to Bandai.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Torrance goes, I'm working a 12-hour overnight storm duty shift. Be careful, it's been raining like crazy.
Oh, whoa.
You know, yo, Torrance, you're still in Boston, right? He'll answer. Anything else you guys want to say about Gear 6? Yeah, go ahead.
I do have a comment. So, to answer the question about is anybody excited for Gears, I mean, I still am looking forward to Gear 6 because while obviously this will not be as good as the original games, the way that the story ends in Gears 5, where clearly one of those main characters gets killed, now I am curious to see what they do with Gears 6 because I would like to see what the true ending is. Are they going to have this thing where both of those characters might not be in the game? I have a lot of questions about that. But I am curious because the story is interesting. I do think that they cannot be too safe if Marcus Phoenix time is up, then his time need to be up. Let's not do any more fake outs. But I am curious just to see what they're going to do with the next game. So I will say that. But we'll see what happens, because I do agree it has been a long time since we've heard about this game. It should have already been revealed. But clearly, Microsoft did not focus on this game. They were too busy acquiring other studios and having them create games that they can put on their console. So there you go.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. All right, let's move on here. We got to talk about this story, Ben. If you guys heard the Sunday show, I don't know if somebody asked us about this or we brought, but we definitely discussed the situation happening with Stellar Blade, specifically an IGN writer. I think he did a preview or something. IGN France, I should say. So this dude said that the main character, Eve, is nothing but like a sex doll, and it was clear to him that the director of the game had never seen a woman before. I went out, people weren't happy about that. And then, the receipts came in, right? One of the receipts we had already known for months, Eve, her body is based on an actual Korean model. Pretty accurate depiction of said model. Not the face, just the body. Like, they used like an original face. So that's one. Then two, the guy said, the guy had never seen a woman before. So, people did their due diligence. Found out, found a picture of the guy's wife. Who's very attractive. Not only is she very attractive, but she's an artist on Stellar Blade. She helped design Eve.
Like he is, too.
Like he is, exactly.
Because he was the artist behind Magna Carta. If you remember those games, he was the character designer for those games.
Yeah.
So he's been drawing lots of women for a long time. So
yeah,
he kind of knows what he wants. But I would say the thing about Stellar Blade, and I think there's also a bit of a culture disconnect here.
Yeah.
A lot of you guys, there's a lot of people out there that really love that K-pop music and all that stuff. And you look at a lot of the people that come from Korea. A lot of the people come up from Korea, like at least a lot in their culture these days, is that they're very much about attractive looking people. It is also the capital of plastic surgery in the world. So what does that tell you? That tells you that they're going to make characters that are going to be, quite nice looking. And that's what they're maybe people might see this as superficial, but that's the way it is over there. A lot of it is over there. So why wouldn't their game reflect the thing that exists in their own country?
Yeah, exactly. So obviously that went out. People were roasting IGN, rightfully so, I would say, over that nonsense. And typically what happens, and I'm going to be very careful with my words here, but typically when these type of people make these proclamations, they don't back down. They double down. That's what they do. Surprised that IGN actually apologized, issued a formal apology to the director. So I want to read this. Recently, IGN France produced and published a preview of Stellar Blade containing an offensive passage that should never have been kept. The text has now been edited, and here is our official apology to the Shift Up Corporation staff, studio staff. Also, please note that IGN France is an independent branch of IGN, that IGN's editorial staff had nothing to do with this incident. They're trying to distance themselves right there. The original text of the Stellar Blade preview contained comments that were out of place. While it was never our intention to disrespect Shift Up or any of its employees or their work, we recognize that the phrase taken its literal sense was inappropriate, and we regret it. To anyone at Shift Up Corporation who felt personally targeted and insulted by this passage, we are truly sorry and sincerely apologize. Again,
is it in Korean too?
It was probably in. Actually, no. Where's this from? It wasn't in. It wasn't in Korean though. I think it's translated from French.
They may want to put that in Korean so that the director can actually understand it.
Yeah.
Can I point out tendency for Western journalists to be fairly heavy-handed when it comes to people from Asia?
I noticed that.
You will see this when it comes to Japanese creators. You'll see this when it comes to obviously it also seems to spread over to Korean creators as well. What is that?
I find it interesting. I'm just going to say it. Find it interesting that you have these people that are very virtuous, right? talk about, you know, all certain things, how certain people need to be uplifted, yet they're the first ones to come down on quote unquote minorities when they don't toe the line that they set. Very interesting. Very, I'm going to say it, very racist of them too, you know, yeah. Because you see, this isn't a new thing. We've seen this for decades. Gaming, Western gaming journalists are very harsh on Japanese or Asian developers, way harsher than they are on Western developers. We've seen this since the beginning of this podcast and before that, you know? Yes.
What, one of our episodes from years ago was how a similar situation happened with the game Dragon's Crown.
Yeah, yes. That was a very, very early throwdown. That was the original version of Throwdown. Yeah, and they came down very hard on that game.
Yes. And though the creator of Dragon's Crown, like the creator of Stellaray, who just kept his mouth closed, he kinda clapped back.
Yeah. You guys remember Adam Sessler making fun of Japanese games back in the day? Oh yeah, the Japanese. Remember that? Exactly. Shad Grimgravy, making fun of Japanese. Mm-hmm. Yep. The creator of Stellar Blade, he actually did say something. The director, mm-hmm. I'm gonna butcher my man's name, Kim Hyung Tae. Mm-hmm. He says, I know that in the West, game characters have to be realistic in many ways and that there are numerous issues involved, such as gender and racial diversity. But Stellar Blade is only an entertainment and cultural work. I hope people will look at it as just another fun action game that has been released. That's a based dude right there, you know? And I tweeted about this too. I said, yeah, that's what's missing with Western games now. Remember when games used to just be entertainment? When it wasn't about all this other shit, it was just, here's something that a lot of people will enjoy. And it was by a creator that was passionate about it. And even if a game comes out that was like not so great, you could almost forgive it because you knew the director gave a shit. You know, they weren't just like doing a dumbass cash grab, you know? I don't talk about it too much on Twitter for obvious reasons, but I've been following this whole Stellar Blade thing very closely since the inception. And it's just been interesting to me how it's taken on a slight different form, but it is still something we've seen in this industry for a very, very long time. Like Manny said about, you know, Western developers just being very, very heavy handed.
Asians in general.
Yeah.
Like in other words, what was it? What was the other controversy with Asian games? Oh, you shouldn't make games where you can't, you don't see everything in. The design of Elden Ring is utterly atrocious. Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Again, against an Asian developer. So what is this? What is this? Is there some sort of deep-seated racism or something going on here that essentially causes these people to sort of lash out toward these developers? And yet,
yeah,
every single one of these developers are you know, especially when it comes to the Japanese directors, they're like, oh yes, it's very disappointing that they feel that this way about my game. Never anything like, you know, coming back at them. With the exception of the guy from Dragon's Crown who did that one, who did the clapback.
Yeah.
But what is that? Like, you hear it whenever with Kojima stuff, you hear it whenever, like, some other companies. Is it just because people don't understand that's something from their culture or something that's appropriate in their thing, and they don't want to be as as respectful to that thing?
Yeah, again, I just find it funny that these same people that are preaching about diversity don't like it when you have a different opinion, you know? Real quick, Kishak goes, do you guys think there might be some religious undertone with these takes from Western developers? No, because most of these guys are atheists. They don't believe in God. So it's not a religious thing.
Yeah, it's not like the Bible.
No one knows that.
Look at their Twitters, dude.
You're assuming way too many.
No, I'm not. They're atheists.
Yes, you are.
Know?
Yes, you are, man.
Yeah, if you look at the way they talk, trust me, dude.
What's they?
These journalists. And remember, I'm a journalist, too. Very few journalists are, like, religious. Trust me on that, you know? especially in game. Yeah, you know
what I mean. But even so, it's that.
So that's from experience, sir. You know,
even so, like regardless of whatever you know, religious or not, the vitriol of toward Asian developers is a constant.
Yeah, it's a constant.
I don't know what that is. This isn't just to this generation of games. This has been going on for years, and I would like to. It's fascinating to me why people feel the need to be so, you know, be so heavy-handed when it comes to this stuff, but be very kind when it comes to certain other developers, when it comes to certain situations. Yeah. You know, what was it? We're seeing three characters right now. People have been posting. They've been posting Bayonetta. They've been posting
2B.
2B. And then obviously, Eve from Stellar Blade. What is the difference between those things? The thing that unites them. They're all Asian developed games, and they all have been called out for the same thing. Yet now Bayonetta's fine, apparently.
Remember when she got flack though back in the day?
I remember when
2B got flack back in the day. And I guarantee you. When the next hot girl comes out in like 10 years, they're going to use Eve as a good example of how to do it.
Watch.
It's going to happen. They do that. This happens all the fucking time, you know?
And, you know, again, like I don't get what that is. I don't like, I feel like if these, you know, and this is precisely why a lot of these games back in the day used to never get released here because they knew, because these developers knew that, like, you know, maybe we don't need to have this sort of press from the loudmouth Westerners.
Yeah. Again, and I find it very interesting because who was the territory that dominated this industry for a very long time? Very interesting, you know?
It's the Japanese market. Most of the games were developed by Japanese developers. Why we are so, our introduction for a lot of people was to Japanese culture, was through video games. Most of the music that you've heard over the years, a lot of the music that you've heard over the years, all originally came from the Japanese video games. A lot of the characters, iconic characters over the years. So I'm guessing it's like, what is it? Well, we're trying to say that we're better. I don't know. I mean, I feel like every single country has their own thing, right? If you're from a certain country and you have these certain beliefs or you have certain things of appropriate, obviously your game is going to reflect that. But you shouldn't be pushing that onto somebody else.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Because everybody has their way. Like the way I've always saw it, especially when it comes to true professionalism, everybody's got their way. If creating games or art was a problem, each individual finds their own solution to addressing that problem. You know, and finding their audience.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Stellar Blade is something that's for everybody. It may not be for everybody. Like some people don't like those Souls-like games. Some people don't like, you know, that sort of stuff. They're obviously fine with that. But I feel like I call foul when you are trying to control essentially come down to people who actually enjoy these things.
Yeah. IGN was, this is what Torrance says, IGN was flapping their gums and didn't know the model was a real woman. Yeah, it was another, I don't know if it was IGN specifically. Remember, that part got called out months ago, you know, mm-hmm. when the game was first announced or whatever, not first, but it was announced, obviously those controversy, the woman is unrealistic body proportions. Then a few months later, you come to find out, oh no, that's based off a real model. It's off real model. And then, again, I'm sorry, the racist shit. Like, oh, if you guys are into that, you're a pedophile. She looks like a little girl. Like, what are you trying to say about Asian people, guy?
Yeah, you know? What are you saying about this? Like, what are you basing this off of your own, you know, your own bias?
Yeah, I was like, why does she look like a little girl to you, bro?
Yeah, you know, I mean, here's the thing. One thing is that, like, number one, okay, you could disapprove as a writer, you could disapprove of that sort of stuff, but don't be a fucking asshole about it and essentially start questioning the integrity of the people that are creating. They obviously did it for a reason, and you don't even take a moment to call the guy up and say, "So why did you design it this way? you literally need to call him out, like, in other words, in this article, and then have him finally say, no, this is what it is.
Yeah.
So just, we don't need, you know. And again, giving an economical answer, like, oh, yeah, I don't, you know, I'm not looking, you know, obviously I understand these things are the norm, but I also want to kind of make an escapist sort of game.
Yeah, but you can't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. This whole thing is very interesting to me. Anybody else have any thoughts?
I think it's a mix of ignorance and arrogance at the same time, because I can't think of anything else. Like, when I heard the statement from IGN France, the initial one about the author never having seen a woman, I understood it was hyperbole, but at the same time, it's like, you can't really say that, because, again, people are going to, like, take that and run with it. You can't have the context that he probably wanted to add in there. Again, giving him the full benefit of the doubt here, so I could be wrong if he intended it to be different. But I just don't think that he was able to add in the context, and then people just ran with that, and then obviously the whole thing just blew up. But even then, it's a statement that you just cannot make anyway, because obviously it's wrong. You know, like, you can't say, oh yeah, this person's never seen a woman before. It's like, I'm pretty sure he has. I mean, half the world is filled with women, so it's like, unless you walk around with, like, looking at the floor the whole time, it's impossible not to. So there's that. But even then, I still find the whole statement just to be completely absurd, and I understood, well, I took from it that he was trying to attack the creator for his creative decisions, and that's something that is obviously not right. Again, creators should be allowed to create whatever nonsense they want to make, whether you agree with it or not, you know, and it should just be left at that, you know, like, let them make whatever they want, let them be. If people like it, they'll buy it. If people don't like it, they won't buy it. I mean, that's the whole point of a free market. That's how it's meant to work. Yeah, if you're forcing everything to go down a certain path, it's not going to work. It's going to fall over.
I think the thing about it is that, like, you know, you also got to realize, let people have to realize, is that things will live and die by what is offered, right? If Stellar Blade ends up being, you know, and doesn't end up doing the numbers that they're sort of thinking that they want, or they're sort of expecting, then that is what happens. The audience makes the ultimate, the public makes the ultimate decision as to a success or failure. So mm-hmm. let it do that. You know, obviously you can have obviously IGN article guy could obviously have, you know, an opinion about it, but they also need to provide a bit of levity on it. You know, sort of say, hey, you know, this may not exactly be what everybody will enjoy, but be very constructive about it. Like, you know, I'm not a big into this, but there's a lot of aspects that I do think I think are interesting, as opposed to, you know, essentially taking a professional tilt as opposed to a direct insult.
Yep. I totally agree. It's, yeah, as I was saying, like, I thought he just went about it completely the wrong way. And obviously, the retraction afterwards is when Tony was reading it, I was just cringing the whole time. It's like, it's such a massive backpedal, and the distancing that they're trying to do is so big. It's unbelievable. Like, I've not seen such a massive backpedal in a long time. You know, the part that got me was like, yeah, IGN France is not. The editorial is not affiliated with, like, the main IGN. It's like, so basically you just admit that this guy, you fucked up majorly, and you just don't want any part of it. It's like, it's so bad. And it's honestly just, it is pathetic, the whole thing. And come on.
You know, yeah.
Well, like, it sounded like it was more of a projection more than anything from that guy.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, in most cases, these, again, it's often is projection. I mean, how many times, again, I'm sorry to take it off on a tangent.
Oh, go ahead.
But how many times have you heard, oh, this guy's a preacher, blah, 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 he hates gay people, and then turns out that he's gay. It's like,
yeah, you see it all the time.
Uh-oh.
It often is the case that the people that are often the loudest about certain things, they often are projecting.
Well, yeah, I mean, Brian, how many times have you seen, you know, let's just call them what they are, male feminists, you know, when their skeletons come out, you know, Very interesting.
I was trying to avoid that on purpose, but you brought it up. But yeah.
Man,
it's just one of those weird things. And I think the whole thing is just a self-report on the guy. And the whole, like, looks like children comments, I really don't understand that. I find that incredibly creepy.
Yeah.
On the same level as that extra credits guy that somehow managed to conflate black people with orcs. It's like, okay.
Again, Brian, like you said, projection. What does that say about you if the first thing that your mind goes to is orcs, black people? It's kind of fucked up, man. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should check yourself, you know, before you wreck yourself.
I mean, when I see orcs, I just see...
I see a fucking monster. That's what I see, you know?
I see just the outcome of corruption on a system. You get this, and that's what it is. It's fighting corruption. But if you see that and you think, oh, that reminds me of black people, it's like, what do you think of black people then?
Yeah.
That's concerning, you know? But... the whole thing is just a big L for them, and again, it just further adds to the whole to the whole firearms against IGN of just being useless. So
damn,
it's a fact though. At this point, again, Tony, you know that there's a bunch of people that just hate IGN for so many reasons. Now this is just like another thing that I can throw in
reasons, Brian, justified. Let's be real here, you know?
And that's kind of the thing, you know? It's like, you know, whose fault is it? Like, is it the people that keep, again, no, sorry, that's a bad analogy. Yeah, but whose fault is it that these things just keep happening? Like, if you say dumb things, people will bring it up and pile it on, you know? People will keep receipts.
Yeah.
And IGN, there's a lot of receipts for them at this point.
Oh, man. So, yeah, Rich, I know you want to sign off, man. Go ahead.
I just want to make a comment. I agree with everything that has been said. It is definitely a massive L for IGN. But two points that I do want to make. First and foremost, it shows that the person who wrote this piece initially, they didn't do any research on the game. Obviously, if you work for this industry, you need to know what the hell you're talking about before you write anything. So the fact that they were able to fit that comment in there, just completely off base. And number two, whoever edited that article, because obviously somebody looked at that article before they published it, both of those people need to have some type of, some type of punishment for this. You know, if this person is not writing for the site anymore, they were a contractor, it is what it is. But it's not just that person, it's whoever also approved the article and looked that over and said, okay, yeah, this is great, let's publish it. So multiple people should be, blamed for this. But yes, it's a massive L for IGN on every level.
Yeah, for sure. Carlos, you got any thoughts on this, man?
No, just pretty much everyone's been saying pretty much how it is. It's just childlike and idiotic and... And like I mentioned, it's a projection of him because a lot of these assumptions, you don't, it's not one-on-one. You have to connect some dots, and a lot of it is his own psychology that's connecting those dots. So, you know, looks like an idiot. I mean, I'm glad that freaking they rolled back on it because at least it seems like they have some sort of standards. But
I'm sure it was also affecting their numbers.
And that's why they were getting cooked, you know? Normal IGN was getting cooked. They were like, yo, we're catching strays. What the fuck? You know?
Yeah. So they disavow any association with them, you know?
Yeah. So whatever. This person could kick rocks. I don't hopefully Stellar Blade ends up being a $20 million seller, man.
You know? Or 20 million copy seller, you know?
Or 20 million copy seller.
Yeah. What was the other thing? I said this on the Sunday show. I know this is low class, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you saw a picture of the guy who wrote the article, maybe he's the one that hasn't seen a woman in a while. Just saying, like, dude, you shouldn't be throwing stones, man. Just saying, you shouldn't be throwing stones, bro. All right, moving on here. Next story, Brian. I picked this one specifically for you, man. And Brett, but Brett's not here. So, Pal World has apparently lost 97% of its players on Steam. What's up with that?
I think, as I said, said this last month. This is what I expect to happen, and I think at some point people just played their fill and played what and played what was there. And to be honest, there wasn't really much to be had, to be honest with you. Like, yeah. Once you got to the end, you pretty much done everything. You captured all the pals. You got all the max gear. Like, you could possibly go through and run for the exotic weapons and stuff and gear. But again, that's RNG-based. So maybe people just thought, nah, I'm done. So there's no real end game to be had. There's nothing to do after the fact. So, yeah, this is totally expected. Yeah, I'm just surprised that it even was that big in the first place. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think your take is probably more realistic than Brett's would have been. You know, you're probably going off, no, this game, you know, whatever. But I agree with what you said, pretty much. It's like, all right, people did what they wanted to do. They're done, you know?
Yeah, it ran its course.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, who knows? It could have a resurgence.
The next resurgence would be whenever they update the game. Because it's still an early access title.
It is, yeah. By the way, just random. I noticed that ever since Elon took over Twitter, like, translation just fucking doesn't work, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, every time you click on it, it's like, was this translation accurate? No, because there was no translation. The fuck?
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Last story of the night here. This one I threw in, kind of interesting. So apparently 60% of playtime in 2023 went to 6-year-old or older games, according to new data. But I really want to talk about this because of the games that are being played. I'm just going to call them what they are, normie games. So I kind of questioned this study in a way.
GTA?
Yeah, let's just run them down. What do you think number one is, Carlos? Just throw it at me.
Maybe it's GTA 5?
That no, well, that's not number one exactly, but
oh,
what is the current hotness?
Helldivers, Fortnite.
Thank you, Brian. Come on, yeah, come on, Carlos. That was an easy layup, man.
Yeah, no, man. I was about to say World of Warcraft.
You know, so yeah, let's run through this. As a matter of fact, let's have some fun here, and I'm going to run through the number one on each platform. On PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, number one game is. Excuse me, and Nintendo Switch. It is Fortnite across the board. That's the game people have most been playing. Number two, that's this one things start changing up. Number two game on PC is Roblox. Number two game on PlayStation is Grand Theft Auto 5. Number two game on Xbox is Call of Duty Modern Warfare. What the fuck? It says 2-3 Warzone. I guess they're all just mixed together. Legend of Zelda for Switch. Number three, Minecraft on PC. Number three is the Call of Duty games on PlayStation. Number three, Grand Theft Auto 5. So we have a switch there between PlayStation and Xbox. Super Mario Wonder for Switch. I'm only going to read the top five for each. Counter-Strike, you already know, on PC. That's number four. Mm-hmm. Number four on PlayStation is FIFA. The you know, I'm not going to call it the new name. Fuck that, it's FIFA. Minecraft on Xbox, number four. Mario Kart 8 is number four on Switch. And then number five is The Sims 4 on PC. Roblox on PlayStation is number five. Roblox again is number five on Xbox. And Minecraft, number five on Switch. But yeah, those are the general big games. It's Grand Theft Auto 5, Counter-Strike 2, you know, Roblox, Minecraft, Rocket League, Apex Legends, Fall Guys, Valorant, and Call of Duty. Very interesting, but the thing is, it's interesting, but it's also not
it's all service games.
All service games.
With the exception of the Nintendo games.
Yeah, because when I originally read the headline, my first thought was like, oh, it's because, you know, a lot of the games that are coming out are just not that great. I really think it's more of like, hey, this is the game I'm playing. I'm sticking with it. When I saw there's like normie games, like, oh, yeah, normies generally just play one or two games. They stick with them, you know? So, yeah, and or hardcore guys, they will just, you know, that are not normies, they will generally stick to one service game like that. So it's interesting because it's not surprising, you know? I should say that. Mm-hmm. Where is the place? No, you mean not the PlayStation engine, the remaster engine, Philly Fred, you know? Go ahead, Manny. You're going to say something?
No, I mean, it is what it is. Like, it doesn't, like, but it sounds, it's a little bit concerning because of obviously, you know, especially with, you know, with Sony spending so much money on their big titles, none of their big cornerstone titles are in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is interesting. But a lot of their cornerstone titles are not service games. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah, a lot of them are not service games. But yeah, like you have a bunch of Nintendo people are going back to play Zelda or going back to play, you know, the Mario games. But yet all Sony, you know, with their big titles, none of it on there. Xbox with all their big titles, none of them on that list.
Yeah, what's up, Rich?
So two quick comments. Yeah, I agree with Manny said. This is very concerning, but it's very also concerning because a lot of great games came out last year. So, yeah, it makes you wonder how those games did overall compared to what everybody is playing. But let me also add this. I'm pretty sure that the executives that decide we need to make these service-based games, these are the charts they're looking at as to why you're getting Suicide Squad and all this other stuff, because they're hoping that those titles keep players coming back, like a Fortnite or Roblox or any of this other stuff on these lists. So,
yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah, no, and this is why Sony wanted to make all those live service games. They, you know, just like Jeff Grubb, right, throwing shit at a wall, see what sticks, you know? But, yeah, that's that there. And that's pretty much the news of the week. Let me read some of these comments here. To me, J-Shep, these are the same people playing on last-gen consoles. Yeah, that's a good point. Matter of fact, I don't think any of these games are, like, current-gen games.
And so you see why they're still releasing PlayStation PlayStation 4 games and Xbox you know games Xbox 360 games or not X360 Xbox One.
None of these are. The study said games from the last 6 years, but yeah, something interesting there for sure. You know, Torrance talking about life jackets. That fishing life, man, don't fall in the water. You know, it's crazy. All right, man. Start wrapping it up here. Actually, you know what? We got a little bit of time. What have we been playing lately? Rich, I'm going to go with you. What games have you been playing lately that you're allowed to talk about?
There's always the addendum.
Yeah, with Rich, you got to add that qualifier, you know? And with me too sometimes.
Well, there isn't really any game that I can't talk about yet, but, you know, we'll see if that changes. I just been playing more of a little bit more of Rise of the Ronin to try and explore a few other things to see how the game is. I did play the Stellar Blade demo, and yes, I do look forward to playing that game because unlike the people that criticize the game, I enjoyed my experience, so I definitely have played enough to want to play more. So looking forward to that. And of course, WWE 2K24 because WrestleMania is this weekend, so you know I had to get in some of that. So, but
it's very very close to me.
Oh, it is.
It's in Pennsylvania or Philly. So yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Rich?
Oh no, that's it for now. But there will be more to talk about in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, is anybody playing FF7? Game is really good. Oh, yeah, I beat that game a while ago. Great game. I should say I'm playing the FF mini games. Yeah, there's a lot of mini games in that game. I've talked about it before. Beat the game. Game is awesome. All right, Manny, you been playing anything?
A little bit. I've been, you know, sometimes on my lunch break, I'll play a little bit of Hi-Fi Rush on PlayStation 5. Good game. You know, I'm a little disappointed it doesn't read your previous save data, but, you know, no harm, no foul, just doing it all again. So I've been playing a little bit of that, and here and there, just going through the game again. And then I also played the Stellar Blade demo, not as much as I would have liked to.
Yeah.
Right now it's a pretty busy time. There's a lot of things that are in motion right now for me, and obviously, you know, unfortunately, what happened last Friday. Just taking it day by day and all that stuff, and just you know play a little bit of this, a little of that here or there, and that's about it.
Cool. Carlos, you been playing anything?
Nah, not this week. I've been busy. This past month has been probably some of my busiest, so no, have not been able to get back to Final Fantasy VII, which was the game that I left off in. But hey, so maybe this month we'll see.
You know, don't go on any trips.
Yeah, I know. Then it'll be lost forever.
You know, because you know, this life stuff I've been talking about, I haven't really had a chance to play. I did play Stellar Blade. I didn't finish the demo, but it was fucking awesome. That's going to be a really good game. I don't think it's going to be, because motherfuckers are like, oh, game of the year. No, chill out. It's not going to be game of the year. But very good game. Like I said, to me, it's a nice throwback game to like PS2 era, you know, fun action hack and slash games with a hot girl. Like, yeah, this is cool. But with, you know, with the Souls stuff thrown in as well. But not as difficult as the Souls games, I would notice. A lot more merciful, you know, but still challenging. If you're not paying attention, you're going to get fucked up. I got wrecked a couple of times. But yeah, great game. Looking forward to playing the full game. It's good stuff, you know. I think certain people are elevating it to something it shouldn't be just because it upsets another group of people. I'm all about upsetting those people. That's fine. But it's like, come on, guys, calm the fuck down, you know. Anyway, Brian, what have you been playing lately?
Same old, same old. Dragon's Dogma 2.
Oh, how's that treating you, man? Give us an update.
I'm enjoying it really a lot. I think towards the start of the week, I managed to spend 3 hours, and in that time frame, I explored 3 dungeons, did 1 side quest, and that was it in 3 hours, just because it's so much fun just exploring the world and seeing all the quests and stuff like that. And I really love how you can walk into places and there's no loading screen. It's just, you just walk in, you know, nice. You walk into buildings, everything's good, everything's fine. You know, it's lovely. Still enjoying it. Epitol is still being a Chad. I think he'll stay on Greatsword for the time being until he's maxed it out. And then I think I might move him to a mage to see how broken those stuff is. Those spells are, because it seems like everything's broken to a certain degree, and it's just beautiful how we still have games where things are built in being so broken. It's beautiful. One of the classes has this class ability where basically they can dodge, they auto dodge every move against them, so you basically cannot get hit.
Nice.
You know, and if that isn't broken to you, then I don't know what it's broken. Because when I first heard that, I'm like, no, that sounds so broken. That sounds like a cheat, you know? It sounds like a mod, you know, that someone just put on. Like, oh, yeah, you just automatically dodge everything so that you don't take damage. Like, nope, it's built in the game. So, yeah, still enjoying that. I may have to slow things down a bit just because I work stuff. But apart from that, just Dragon's Dogma. I think I'll be playing this for the rest of this month and possibly next month.
Good stuff. All right, man, that's going to do it for us for Throwdown. You could, you know, follow us everywhere over on Twitch and Twitter, Discord, where conversations and rumors are always popping. Also, we are back on YouTube. Got to figure out when I'm going to stop saying that, because we've been back for fucking 4 months now, you know. But we are back. You already know. We're also on every podcast app, Throwdown Show, 2 words, Throwdown Show, and throwdownshow.com. So let's listen to past episodes, man. So yeah, for everything, links down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Hey, take care, everyone.
And Brian Majoma.
Later, people.
All right, guys, you already know. Sunday, later.
Latest.